Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro and trying to make sense of markets that I think are starting to make some sense. I know, kind of crazy, right? In today's show, we're going to talk about the yield curve and how it's potentially signaling the worst is yet to come. We're going to look at the economic data, especially the CPI. We saw a little inflation instead of disinflation. So we'll take a look at that today. But before we get to that, you're right. We got to talk about what's going on in the bond market. Put the crown on, because you're probably wondering, is this the bottom? I mean, have we finally seen the bottom? You know, we're going to go over the auction data, the 10 and 30 year. We'll see what really was the catalyst for moving the bond market the last 2 days. And we've talked about this, I think, on Monday, that I thought, hey, these auctions should go pretty good. And that would be a change. The market's not expecting that. So we're going to dig into that. So what's the deal with these quant computers? Now, remember, if we go back a little bit, we talked about how they were selling down to a neutral level. And I'm only working on the best available data because they do adjust their formulas daily. So we just have to kind of intuitively figure out where they're headed. And we'll look at the charts and kind of see if we can glean some information off of this. So we knew at 1.1% on the 10-year, they were neutral. Over 1.1, and again, this is changing daily, they would go short. And what did we see in the price action? Well, we saw just that, right? If we go and look at TLT here, and we zoom in, we saw as it got down here, and I'll zoom in a little bit, we saw as it got down here, short. I mean, you could almost feel them going short. So they're going from neutral to taking a short position. And then all of a sudden the bond auctions kick in and you see them start to get squeezed out. And we can zoom in on the 10 day and just see that there was some squeezing of short selling going on here and a move all the way back to where it was a few days ago. Now, if we look back and say, okay, how should this look? Because based on what we know right now, these quant computers should be, if they're still short, they're just sitting there, or possibly they have unwound those shorts and gone back to neutral. What we're interested in is, are they still selling? And it doesn't appear that they are. I mean, and you can look at the price action today, I mean, and yesterday, you know, and look at any time between, you know, now and August of last year, and you just see this persistent selling by the CTAs. I mean, every move higher sold, move higher sold, move higher sold. That's how you know. You know, they buy the dips on going up, they sell the rips on the way down. Let's go and look back at January of last year. And you can see what kind of happened is after they exited their position, which was early in January, based on the best information I have, you can see the bond market started to settle. And then the natural direction, of course, for bond prices was to go up because financial conditions are tight, and they started going up. And then next thing you know, the CTAs are coming in, you know, somewhere here late January, they're starting to buy in, they run into a little resistance from sellers. And then you notice there's these gap up overnight moves. They're not big, but little gap up. And you see it, and they sold over the 6 month period and bought back all the way over a little over 3 months. So they were responsible for this big move. So the question we have that we don't know the answer to yet, but we will know probably within a week or two, is this the bottom? Well, if we continue to see prices go up, which we should, fill some gaps in here, see momentum start to bottom out again and shift, and then if we see prices start to gap in the overnight a little bit, now we know those quants are coming back in. And that would be very interesting because the market is not expecting lower interest rates at this time. You know, you have to remember, low interest rates are a sign of tight financial conditions. You know, we've heard, you know, Fed speakers go around beating the drum of, oh, we might taper. They're not going to taper. They're just talking about the fact that they're seeing crude oil prices go up. And then we're going to look at the inflation day to day, and they're seeing interest rates go up. And what they're seeing is things that would give them an indication that if these continue down the path, they're not, then that would give you what you need to say that we've hit our inflation targets or getting close to it. I don't think that's going to happen, especially when you look, you know, when we go over the yield curve data today. So let's get into the economic data because there's a lot of interesting stuff going on here. I want to start with Tuesday. We got the National Federation of Independent Businesses Small Business Optimism Index. Now, it fell from 101 to, you know, just shy of 96, and you say, well, it's not really a big deal. And it kind of is a little bit of a big deal. You go, well, it's not that much lower, but if you zoom out, what it tells you is small businesses are optimistic between 100 and 105. Now, it's over 105, they're really optimistic, but that's not something that happens very often. 95 at a level, you know, say 95-ish, because we're just shy of 96, is actually, you know, kind of recessionary. I mean, we've seen past recessions at these levels. So it's telling you the small businesses aren't that optimistic as it may appear based on a number of 95. And you, the pandemic lows, let's zoom in, were 90.9 and we're at 95.9. So that's not too great. Let's keep going through the data because I really want to spend some time on this yield curve piece. Is we've got Redbook same store weekly retail sales. You know, with all this talk of inflation and pent up demand, where we're not seeing it is in retail sales. We had this big drop from 5.5% down to 2.1 on a year over year. And this is pretty big drop in my opinion, because we were up in this 8 levels before. If we look at the data down here, where I mean, we're at a peak of, you know, almost 9% year over year. And we've been high prior to that. So now we're back down into the 2s, not a strong indication of pent up demand from the consumers. We have the job openings and labor turnover survey. Now, this is Janet Yellen, former Fed chair, her favorite indication of the health of the economy. And let's take a look at that. I pulled that up on the Fred charts here. And what is this? This is just showing, you know, job openings. Now, why does Janet Yellen like this? Why do other members of the Fed? I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I'm just assuming if a former Fed chair likes it, then, you know, there's other members on the board that go along with that view. Is because you're in a normal economy, you're going to see 200,000 to 300,000 unemployment claims a week. That's not unusual. In fact, it's pretty normal. And as long as there's an increasing number of jobs, right? You know, you have 6 million openings and, you know, 300,000 people a week losing their jobs, no problem. What it's telling you is, yeah, they might be on unemployment for a little while, but the labor market's healthy and they're going to be able to get back in. And what we've been seeing here since late 2018, and again, we've talked about this where you go back to the fourth quarter of 2018 and you see a global economic slowdown. You know, the COVID was just a bad timing for all of this deal. And so you see the job openings are falling. This is a very lagged report. It's November, 6.5 million job openings. Based on the non-farm payroll report, we should expect to see in December this go down. And that is not a positive sign for the economy. Next up, we've got the 10-year Treasury auction that really set the bond market on fire and, you know, got it off of that lows, where we're just seeing persistent selling. And the 10-year hasn't been a really strong take at auctions lately. In fact, it's been pretty, you know, kind of mediocre at best, if not disappointing. And this auction was strong. Now, what are the things, you know, if you're going to the Treasury Direct website and you're looking at these, how do you know what a strong auction is or not? There's two things you can look at. One is this bid to cover ratio. And what the market cares about is its relation to the 6-month average. So at 2.47, it was above the 6-month average. And how do you know what that would is? You just go open the last 5 reports and you can see what the average is. It's pretty easy. And this was above the 6-month average. I think it was like tied or real close to the highest one. So it was above a 6-month average. And then the second thing they look at, the market looks at, is indirect bidders. How much are indirect bidders taking? They took a fairly sizable amount of the auction, and that's what the market wanted to see. That whole view that interest rates are going up got changed by this one auction. Now, as we move forward into the Wednesday data today, we've got some industrial production numbers out of Italy, getting worse in November from -1.9 to -4.2%. But I believe that parts of Europe are shut downish. I haven't followed too closely, so I'm guessing that this is some sort of indication of their economy being pushed back down. But overall, the Eurozone, giving a little different perspective, went from -3.5 to -0.6 in November on a year-over-year basis. So that is a big improvement for the overall Eurozone. Let's move into today's data. We've got the from the U.S. We've got the mortgage applications jump 16.7%. And now you're like, okay, right there, there it is. There's your inflation, right? All these people are borrowing. Why are they borrowing? I want you to think about that. Why all of a sudden would you have a 16.7% increase in mortgage applications? What are homeowners and future homeowners thinking is going to happen? The market's got them convinced that mortgage rates and interest rates are going to go up. So they jumped in to do what? Lock those rates. Everybody that was on the fence, you know, jump in, lock those rates. And there you go. You see that happening. Big increase in mortgage applications. Unless it's a lot of cash out refis that are going into discretionary spending, all it will do is eventually accelerate the credit contraction going on in residential real estate, because lower interest means more principal payments. So it's not necessarily a positive sign, unless, again, people are pulling equity and going out and spending on discretionary goods and services. All right, consumer price index up 0.4% with the year-over-year rate going from 1.2 to 1.4. Now, remember, I thought this might be flat or go down slightly because of the money multiplier, which still don't have the monetary base data on. So we're going to look at what drove this. Before we get to that, the core CPI, when you see core, exclude food and energy, was flat at 1.6%. So we actually did see inflation in December. And real earnings, market didn't care much for this. Real earnings on a month over month were up 0.1%. So cost of goods, right? So many of you say, hey, things are going up. Here's a perfect example of that. CPI up 0.4, earnings up 0.1, says that consumers are falling behind, at least in December, on consumer, on their income relative to the increase in consumer prices. So let's look at the percent change in CPI for all urban consumers, or the CPIU. And where do we see that most of this increase is coming from? The energy sector, right? Crude oil is up. I drive an electric car, so I don't know what gas prices are. I have to ask my wife. But anyways, you see that energy prices are up. And then the other one is food, which many of you have pointed out. Steve, do you ever even go to the store? I do, but I guess I don't notice the big increases in food prices that much. So you see energy went up. Now, that kind of makes some sense because we know oil prices are higher. Now, let's take a look at the consumer price index relative to crude oil, because here we're seeing energy make a big move, but it's not having that big of an effect on the consumer price index. And to me, this is a bit troubling. And here's why it is, because we've heard for almost a year, right? Ever since that big year-over-year increase in the M2, which is coming up in March, its anniversary, that all we're gonna see is rampant inflation. So you've got higher crude prices, right? Some of you point out, look, shipping and container prices way up, right? Okay, you got that. You've got higher bond yields. You've got massive treasury shorts. You've got food inflation. You've got QE. You've got direct stimulus. And the best we've got is 1.4? That's it? I mean, you can feel that this increase in crude is just not having that much of an effect on the CPI, whereas in the past, you can look and see, wow, it actually did drag it up. I mean, energy pulled it higher. So the question is this the best we get before this thing heads the other direction? On the subject of crude, which I wanted to look at, let's go back to the subject of crude here in a second. Crude oil inventories came back in at a minus 3.2 million barrels. People are excited about that, but you got to watch the product builds. You know, there's one thing, being in the oil part of this country, I've learned from my friends and clients. I said, look, don't always fixate on the crude oil inventories. You've got to look at the product stocks too. And distilled stocks up 4.8 million barrels. Gasoline inventories up 4.4 million barrels. Let's look at the EIA data, because ending stocks of crude are still fairly high. I mean, yeah, they're not their all-time highs, but they're high. They're higher than they've been since 2014, and they're back, and they're higher than they were in 2019. So crude oil inventories are high. Now, the good thing is they're heading lower. The problem is gasoline inventories are rising. Now, yeah, they're not at their all-time highs, but they're trending higher. That's not really what you want. And they're still fairly high overall if you look at their long-term average. How about distillate stocks? Not at their all-time high, but they're really high too. So what you're seeing is a demand issue. Something we've talked about in the show is what happens when higher prices don't meet demand, you get builds in inventory because prices are too high. You know, and you have to think, are these higher energy prices good for the 20 million people that are unemployed? Are they good for the people that are in food lines, people who are, you know, becoming marginally employed or have their incomes cut? This is not good. You know, this is a problem which will lead to less discretionary spending. So think about it. You know, if your rent's going up, your food's going up, your energy costs are going up, that means all of your other, you know, income that you have to spend on discretionary stuff, which is really where we get the driver of inflation, shrinking. That's a problem. All right, let's take a look at the third year. This is why you'll hear me say, you know, higher prices and tight financial conditions ultimately get rejected. This what kind of makes inflation hard to get. So now we got today's 30-year auction. Some of you point out the low yield was back near zero again. I actually forgot to look at that when I pulled the auction, because when I was really thrilled that the bid to cover ratio was above a 6 month average, not the highest over the 6 month, very close, but at 2.47, it was just shy of the 2.48, which was the high. And what was more interesting to me was how strong this auction was, because the dealers only got about $3.4 billion. Now, keep in mind, when you think about this, is the Fed is buying $10.5 billion a 30-year. So 3.4, right? So that tells us that there's 11.6 billion dollars worth of 30-year treasuries. The Fed, the primary dealer banks, are going to have to source from the open market to feed the Fed. It's pulling supply off the market. This is great news. I mean, I was thrilled. I thought, this is awesome. All right, is that the it of the economic data? And it is. All right, let's talk about the yield curve. And I got an email from a fan the other day and said, hey, have you looked at the yield curve chart? Maybe you could do a show on it. And I said, well, you know, I haven't really looked at the yield curve. Let me explain to you what it is. It's the 10-year treasury yield minus the 2-year treasury yield. And it's a really good indicator of recessions. Well, it's not great to timing them, but it's a good indicator that things are going to go bad. And my response to my fan was, I said, you know, I really haven't looked at it much because I assumed that QE was distorting it. And he wrote back, said, yeah, you know what, you're probably right, but here's the chart anyways. And I looked at him like, I wrote him back, I'm doing a show on it because I think there's a lot of value here. So let's take a look at this chart and try to understand it. And when you have a rising yield curve, right? So we're zoomed out. What does that mean? That means one of two things are occurring. Either if you're in a rising interest rate market, it means that 10-year yields are rising faster than 2-year yield. If you're in a falling market, which you can see a rising yield curve, that means 2-year yields are falling faster than 10-year. Now, if any of you are subscribers of Real Vision and have, you know, watched almost any interview where Raoul Powell's talking about his macro framework, he talks a lot about the 2-year. You know, he's watching the 2-year. If the 2-year breaks down, why? Because if the 2-year is falling faster than the 10-year, the yield curve goes up. Now, why is that a problem? Let's go look at this chart again, and you'll see, because when this yield curve is going up, recession, yield curve up, recession, yield curve goes up, recession, yield curve up, recession, in fact, look at that. We're right near a level on the yield curve consistent with recessions. It's going back at least to 1990. Now, we've seen rates rise a little bit, right? Now, why is this yield curve so bad? Well, let me overlay the Wilshire 5000, only because Fred database doesn't have the historics on the S&P or Dow. So let's look at the Wilshire 5000, which is an all cap US index. And look at that. When you get a rising yield curve, it's a train wreck for the equity market. And you can see it here and again. And look, we're at this inflection point now. We're getting really close to this. And the stock market says the worst is behind us. We're in a boom, boom, go growth economy is going to come out of this. And the yield curve is saying, no, you fools, you have no idea what's coming. That's what it's screaming, it's telling you. Now, if we go even further and say, why is Steve keep talking about, you know, the CPI going down? Well, if you look at the CPI relative to the yield curve, it tells you why it's probably not going to go up. And of course, we have the money multiplier, which is a phenomenal tool as well. But look at this. When the the yield curve goes up, the red, CPI down. Yield curve up, 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 CPI down. Yield curve going up. Everybody is on the reflation trade. And the yield curve is telling you, no, no, you got this wrong. You have no idea what's coming. That's what this is telling you. So if we overlay 2 year, right? Because again, we'll fall back to Rao's view of the 2 year. What you see is if the 2 year is going to head down, which is very close to zero, it's like 0.14%. If this thing heads down back towards zero, that's going to shoot this yield curve up because the 10-year is not going to follow it down as probably as quickly. You have a massive problem. The 2-year probably goes negative. The 10-year comes down. The wheels come off the bus. Now, I asked our friend Stefan if he could run some COT charts of this because I know many of you love those. And he said they don't have the charts on the 2-year. So we couldn't really do that. But he sent me a couple of them. The best he could come up with, which is still great, was SHY. Now, SHY is a 1 to 3 year treasury note ETF. And some of you are very familiar with that. You've used it or seen it in your portfolios. And here's the net short on it. Now, this is not the COT report. This is just a net short on SHY. So there's a lot of short positions here. So could that lead to an unwind in yield on the 2 year and send them to zero or negative? Yes. Now let's go pull up the actual CFTC report from last week. And here we have the 2 year note. And there's 1.9 million contracts outstanding. And there's a huge short position, 852,000 contracts short on the 2 year that increased by almost 82,000 last week. So what you see is this massive short position on the 2 year that could easily get squeezed out if those quants start driving rates back down. And then he ran the 10-year treasury the 10-year position, and where we see just a slight long. We've seen that before on the Hedgeopia reports, a slight long. So what it's telling us is there is a lot of dry powder to drive the 2-year rate down, push this yield curve up some more, and really cause a massive problem, particularly if the 2-year goes negative. The market is not anticipating things are going to get worse. It doesn't think that there can be another recession. You look at the position investors, you look at their number of call options, you look at how bullish they are on inflation and risk assets, and the yield curve is telling you there's a recession coming. And nobody's ready for it. And if we see this catalyst of these CTA or quant computers start to buy back in the 30-year and start to drive rates down, what it's going to do is going to squeeze all these shorts, which we didn't see before. In that big run-up between January of last year and March, the speculators went deeper in their shorts. They're already super deep. And that's what makes this really interesting, because nobody's expecting it. And as you know, be sure to like, be sure to subscribe. Thanks for being fans. We'll be back on Friday. We'll get into some credit data. Hope you found this show as useful as I did in actually going through the yield curve. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not intended to provide investment or other advice. It's material is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by a security, financial instrument, or participating in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.